الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class, we're reading the question the author he mentioned, رحمه الله، ما معنى التمسك بالكتاب والقيام بحقه؟ What is the meaning of holding fast to the book, adhering to the Quran, and establishing its due right? The author says, الجواب, the answer, حفظه وتلاوته والقيام به آناء الليل والنهار وتدبر آياته. He said it is to memorize it, to recite it, establish it during the hours of the night and the day, and to ponder over its verses. وإحلال حلاله وتحريم حرامه والانقياد لأوامره والانزجار بزواجره. And to declare lawful what it makes lawful, and unlawful what it makes unlawful, to submit to its commandments, and to refrain from its prohibitions. والاعتبار بأمثاله والاتعاظ بقصصه والأمل بمحكمه والتسليم لمتشابهه والوقوف عند حدوده. And to take admonition from his parables, to take lessons from his stories, and to act upon its clear verses, and to submit to the unclear ones, and to stop at its limits, وَيَنْفُونَ عَنْهُ تَحْرِيفَ الْغَادِينَ وَانْتِحَالَ الْمُبْطِلِينَ, and to repel from it the distortion of the extremists and the false claims of the invalidators and the people of falsehood. وَالنَّصِيحَةُ لَهُ بكل معانيها والدعوة إلى ذلك على بصيرة, and to give sincere advice regarding it and all of its meanings, and to call to it with insight, So this is a beautiful summarized clarification of what it means to hold fast to the Book of Allah and to establish the Book of Allah in the manner that is required. And this is stemming from the previous question. From the previous question, whenever the author he mentioned about the obligation upon this ummah with regards to the Quran, and he mentioned that is to hold fast to it and to establish its right inwardly and outwardly. And he mentioned likewise the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is from the hadith of Zayd ibn Arqam, collected by Imam Muslim. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fakhudhu bi kitabillah, wastamsiku bihi," take to the Book of Allah and hold fast to it. And this is the means to be safe from savior and trials and fitin, holding fast to the rope of Allah, holding fast to the deen of Allah, holding fast to the Quran, and giving its due rights, So the question comes from there. What does that mean to give it its due right? What does it mean to give the Quran its due right and to hold fast to it and to adhere to it properly? Again, he says it means to memorize it and to recite it, to establish it during the hours of the night and the day, and to ponder and reflect over its verses, and to believe what it declares lawful to be lawful, and to believe what it declares unlawful to be unlawful, and to submit to its commandments and to refrain from its prohibitions. And in application, meaning you benefit from that which you memorize, and that which you recite, and that which you read, and that which you listen to, and that which you ponder over, you benefit from that. You benefit from that in the application of the law and legislation that is found therein, applying it in your life, abiding by that which is lawful and leaving off and avoiding that which is unlawful, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, honoring His commandments and prohibitions, establishing His deen, seeking His pleasure, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and to take admonishment from the parables that are struck in the Book of Allah, and likewise to take lessons and benefit from its stories, and to implement the clear verses, and to surrender, to submit to anything that is unclear, to any verses that are unclear, and to stop at its limits, and not to transgress the boundaries that are set in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And along with that, after establishing it in one's life, a person as well, he would defend the Book of Allah. And those who attempt to misguide the people and misinterpret the Book of Allah, he will stand up and repel those falsehoods with great light, knowledge and insight, and sincerity and truthfulness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who seek to misinterpret the Book of Allah, to distort the meanings and the likes like this, then one also, after learning it and establishing it in his life, he will defend it. He will clarify the falsehood of the people of falsehood, and those who misuse the verses of Allah to attempt to establish their deviation and their misguidance. Their deviation and their misguidance, and give sincere advice with regards to the Book of Allah and the application of that himself, and likewise according to it, and being truthful with Allah with regards to that, and carrying the Book of Allah in the manner prescribed, and bearing that trust in a manner properly that's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every aspect, and according to the Book of Allah upon insight. And according to the Book of Allah upon insight. So this is the means. This is the means here to hold fast to the Book of Allah and to establish it and to perform as due right. And to perform as due right. Allah, he mentioned in his book, الَّذِينَ أَتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْرُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ, that those whom we have given the book, indeed they recited the true recitation. The true recitation, it is they who truly believe in it. It is they who truly believe in it. It's been narrated by a number of the Salaf, from them Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and likewise Abdullah ibn Abbas, and likewise Abdullah ibn Umar, and Mujahid, and Ikrimah, and Atta ibn Abi Rabah, and a number of others from the Salaf, radiallahu anhum jami'an, that they mention with regards to this verse, يَتْرُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ, يَتْرُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ, they recited the true recitation, they say, أي يَتَّبِعُونَهُ حَقَّ اتِّبَاعِهِ, meaning they follow it, the proper following. They follow it, the proper following. يَتَّبِعُونَهُ حَقَّ اتِّبَاعِهِ, they follow it, the proper following, and in the manner prescribed. So to recite it properly means to follow it correctly. To recite it properly means to follow it correctly, to follow it in application. Not simple recitation with lip service only, but rather, yes, to recite it. To recite it for the sake of Allah, to the best of one's ability. But in order for that recitation to go in the heart, and for a person to benefit, and to implement that knowledge and abide by it, and abide by it in his life, this is the intent. يَتْرُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَامَتِهِ يَتَّبِعُونَهُ حَقَّ اتِّبَاعِهِ, meaning they follow it, the true following. They follow it, the true following. This has been mentioned from a number of the Salaf. And the people of Qur'an, haqqan, the true people of Qur'an, they are those who implement the Qur'an and work by it. They are those who implement the Qur'an and work by it, not just simply reciting it. Not just simply reciting. If a person was just to simply recite the Qur'an and not implement it in his life, it would be a proof against him. It would be a proof against him, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in the Hadith of Abi Malik al-Ash'ari, which is collected by Imam Muslim, Al-Qur'an hujjatun laka aw alayk. Al-Qur'an hujjatun laka aw alayka, the Qur'an is a proof for you or against you. Likewise, as well, collected by Imam Muslim from the Hadith of Al-Nawas ibn Sam'an, radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yutal bil Qur'an yawm al-qiyamah wa ahlihi alladhina kanu ya'maluna bihi, that the Qur'an will be brought on the Day of Resurrection and its people, alladhina kanu ya'maluna bihi, those who used to implement it and apply it in their lives. So the people of Qur'an, they are those who implement the Qur'an. They uphold the rights of the Qur'an in application. They recite it, no doubt, like the author is saying. They memorize it. They memorize it, and they recite it in the ends of the night and the day, and all throughout their circumstances and situations, and they ponder and reflect over its verses. And they find the commandments and prohibitions in there to be great, and they honor that. And they declare what is lawful to be lawful, and they believe that and follow it. And they declare what is unlawful to be unlawful, and they believe that and they leave it. Out of reverence and fear for Allah and hope for His pleasure, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they take great admonition from the examples and parables that are struck in the Book of Allah, and likewise from the stories, they learn lessons. The stories of the prophets and stories of the previous nations, they learn great lessons and wisdom and benefit in their life, and benefit in their life, which is a means for them to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the greatest example with regards to upholding the rights of the Qur'an, giving it its due rights, and adhering to her property is our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she was asked about khuluq al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, كَانَ خُلُقُ نَبِيِّكُمْ الْقُرْآنِ, that the manners and etiquettes of your Prophet were the Qur'an. Meaning just like this, that he would recite it, memorize it, and he's memorized in his breast, in his heart, in his noble heart sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would recite it. He would recite it in the ends of the day, during the hours of the day and the night. And likewise, he would ponder and reflect over his verses. And he would follow it. He would follow an application. And whatever Allah commands or encourages, he would do that. He would hasten to do that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to comply and to implement that. And whatever Allah he forbade or reprimanded or discouraged in the book, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would leave that. He would leave that. And thus, in this manner, his manner, his etiquette became the Qur'an. Yani meaning he's implementing it in his life. So he's moving in this manner. All the traits that are beloved to Allah, that Allah praised the righteous with, and he encouraged, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would adorn himself with them. He would adorn himself with them. And the commandments that are found therein, the Prophet would hasten to implement them, seeking the pleasure of Allah. And all of the traits and characteristics that are blameworthy in the book of Allah, then the Prophet, he would leave them and avoid them and stay away from them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would and he would warn from them likewise. And he would warn from them likewise in this manner. His etiquettes were in accordance to that which is pleasing to Allah. He's living a life seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, you have in the Messenger of Allah the best role model and the greatest example. The best role model and the greatest example. So this is a very important issue here. And many of these topics here, we have discussed them in detail in our explanation in Ramadan of the summarization of the manners of the carriers of the Quran. But now we have some summarized benefits, yani here to take in points one after another. And this is with regards to giving the Quran its due right. So from honoring and respecting the Quran and giving it its due right, in the haqq al-Quran, first of all, we have 3 points. What does it mean to give the right? To give the Quran its due right. Number one, to believe in it. To believe in it, that's the words of Allah Azza wa Jalla. To believe in it, and that's the words of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and it's not created. And also to believe in the law and legislation that is found therein, and the information as well that is established. Yani the news of the affairs of the unseen, and of the events of the past, and the present, and the future, and the commandments and prohibitions, to believe that is from Allah. To believe that is from Allah, and it's all truth. And it's all truth. Number two, to implement that knowledge and to apply it in one's life by complying to the commandments and avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions. And avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions. Number three, by honoring and respecting the book of Allah and having great love, by honoring and respecting the book of Allah and having great love for the Quran. And having great love for the Quran, ta'limuhu, and the ta'lim al-Quran wa jalaluhu. To honor the Quran, to magnify the Quran, to respect the Quran in a great manner, to have love for the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this last point here, which is ta'limu al-Quran wa jalalu, ta'limu al-Quran wa jalalu, and to magnify and to honor the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to hold it into high regards, there's a number of aspects of how to establish this, and how to establish the ta'zim, at-ta'zim li kitabi Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, at-ta'zim wal-ijlal li kitabi Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, to realize the greatness of the one who spoke the book of Allah, and to realize the majesty and the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his great authority, and to realize that whenever you recite the Quran, whenever you read the Quran, this book here, this is the book of Allah. This is the speech of Allah. You must realize the authority, and the power, and the command, and the majesty, and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who spoke these words. The one who spoke these words. Number two, likewise, you must, after that, realize the greatness, the majesty, the brilliance of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And realize the difference between the words of Allah and the words of others. And the difference between the words of Allah and the words of the creation is like the difference of the creator from the creation. It's like the difference of the creator from the creation. Allah, he mentioned about himself, laysa kamithlihi shay. Laysa kamithlihi shay. There's nothing like unto him. There's nothing like unto him. Some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned likewise with regards to the speech of Allah. Laysa kamithli kalamihi kalam. Laysa kamithli kalamihi kalam. There's nothing like unto Allah. There's nothing resembling him whatsoever, and likewise, there's nothing like unto his speech. There's no speech like unto his speech. There's no speech in comparison or close to his speech, and beauty, and perfection, and majesty, and eloquence, and benefit, and goodness. So, when pondering over the book of Allah, we must honor the book of Allah. From honoring the book of Allah is to realize the majesty and greatness of the one who spoke this book, and likewise, to realize the majesty and greatness of these words. These are the words of Allah. These are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the words of the creator are not like the words of the creation. The words of the creator are not like the words of the creation. It's been mentioned from Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami, rahimahullah. He says, فضل القرآن على سائر الكلام كفضل الله على خلقه، فضل القرآن على سائر الكلام كفضل الله على خلقه. That the virtue of the Quran over the rest of the speech is like the virtue of Allah over His creation. It's like the virtue of Allah over His creation. There's no comparison. There's no comparison of the Creator to the creation. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And likewise, there's no comparison to the attributes of Allah. From His attributes, we have seen al-kalam. So there's no comparison. There's no comparison. There's no equal in the speech of Allah and the speech of the people. The speech of Allah and the speech of the people. So the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the speech of the Creator, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Also, from the points of honoring and revering the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that one, he must love it, and that the heart should be full of love and reverence for the book of Allah. The heart should be full of great love, honor, and reverence for the book of Allah, because loving the book of Allah, loving the words of Allah, is loving the one who spoke it, is loving the one who spoke it. So the one who truly loves Allah, he will love his speech. The one who truly loves Allah, he will love his speech. It's been narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that he said, "Man arada an ya'lama annahu yuhibbu Allah faly'rid nafsahu 'ala al-Qur'an." Whoever would like to know if he truly loves Allah, then let him present himself to the Quran. "Fa'in ahabba al-Qur'ana fa'innahu yuhibbu Allah." So therefore, if he loves the Quran, then indeed truly he loves Allah. "Fa'innama al-Qur'anu kalam Allah 'azza wa jalla." Because the Quran is only the speech of Allah. And his speech is the speech of Allah. So those who truly love Allah, they love his speech. They love to listen to his speech and ponder and reflect over his speech and to recite his words, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to uphold the rights of that. Likewise, this is the indication of true love. True love. So we must love the Quran. We must love the book of Allah. And this is because we love the one who spoke those words. This is from the love of Allah, azza wa jal. From the true love of Allah, azza wa jal. Number four, we must believe that the Quran is perfect. It's precise. It's exact. It's the most beautiful and eloquent speech. It has no deficiency. It has no shortcoming. It has no fault. There's nothing missing. There's nothing missing. It's all precise and perfect. And there is absolutely no contradictions. And there's absolutely no contradictions or faults. It's all guidance. It's all light. It's all beauty. It's all good. It's all good. The words of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah, he mentioned in his book, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This is the book. There's no doubt in it. There's no doubt in it. Likewise, Allah, he says, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجِدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Had it been from other than Allah, then they would have found in the Quran much contradiction, much differing. But everything is in accordance. Everything is precise. Everything is at the peak of beauty and eloquence and clarity. Likewise, as well, the best and most just and upright commandments and prohibitions, the law and legislation is perfect. The recitation is at the peak of beauty, and the meanings are the best of all meanings, of purifying the soul and bringing benefit for mankind in general, for the human being specifically, a person, an individual. Allah, he mentioned about his book, likewise, لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِهِ تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ حَكِيمٍ حَمِيدٍ. That falsehood cannot come to it, not from before, not from behind it. Not from before, not from behind it. تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ حَكِيمٍ حَمِيدٍ. It's revelation from the All-Wise, the One worthy of all praise. The one who's all wise, worthy of all praise. So we must honor the book of Allah in this manner, by believing that it's complete, by believing that it's perfect, by believing that it has no shortcomings or deficiencies or any contradictions whatsoever. There's nothing missing from the book of Allah. There's nothing new to bring to the book of Allah. There's nothing wrong or inconsistencies in the book of Allah. Rather, it's all precise, it's all perfect at the peak of wisdom and beauty, eloquence and majesty, greatness. Greatness is the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal. Number five, likewise, we must accept the Quran wholeheartedly. We must accept the book of Allah wholeheartedly and not reject anything found in there whatsoever. And not reject or object to anything found in there whatsoever. We accept it wholeheartedly. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the words of our Lord, we accept it wholeheartedly. And we accept the law and legislation likewise wholeheartedly. We will not reject or deny or object to anything. Will not reject, deny, or object to anything in the book of Allah whatsoever. Whether we accept it all wholeheartedly. Whether we accept it all wholeheartedly. It's been narrated by Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that he said, Al-Qur'anu kalam Allah. فَمَنْ رَدَّ شَيْئًا مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ فَإِنَّمَا يُرُدُّ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. That the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. And anyone who rejects something or objects to something in the Qur'an, he's only rejecting the speech of Allah. He's only rejecting the speech of Allah, and he is rebelling or objecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a believer, he will not reject or object to anything in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether he will accept all of it. Rather, he will accept all of it. Allah, he mentioned in his book, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. It's not for a believing male nor a believing woman. It's not for a believing man nor a believing woman that whenever Allah and His Messenger decree an affair and either order a commandment that they have any choice. They have any choice in the situation, but rather they say, we hear and we obey. We hear and we obey. So what has come in the book of Allah, we accept it wholeheartedly and believe in it. We do not reject or object to anything in it, not one letter. Not one letter, not one ruling. Not one letter, not one ruling. Not one story, not one parable. You understand that? We accept all of it. Wholehearted is the words of Allah, the best of all speech. The best of all speech. Khayru kalami kalam Allah. Khayru al-kalam kalam Allah. The best speech is the speech of Allah. The most noble and the most honest and truthful speech, the most beneficial speech, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, from the means of honoring and revering, respecting the book of Allah is to be very conscious and stay far away from ever mocking or belittling anything from the book of Allah. Not mocking or belittling or considering insignificant or light anything whatsoever with regards to the book of Allah. Having the utmost respect for the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, he mentioned in his book, قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Allah, he mentioned in his book, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is it about Allah and his verses, his signs, and in his book, and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you're mocking and making a mockery, joking and playing games with? And the likes like this, do not make any excuse. You have disbelieved after your faith. You have disbelieved after your faith. Any by mocking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or by mocking something that the Prophet came with sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by mocking the book of Allah azza wa jal, or joking around or playing and the likes like this. So a believer, he must have the utmost respect for the book of Allah. He must have the utmost respect for the book of Allah, not joking with it or playing with it, not taking it like something lightly or a mockery or a game. A mockery or a game. Also from the points with regards to honoring and revering, respecting the book of Allah, we must believe that it is comprehensive guidance for all mankind. For all mankind, the white and the black, the young and the old, the Arab and the non-Arab. It's guidance in every aspect of life. It's comprehensive, all-inclusive, clarifying the details that the human being is in need of with regards to his life from every aspect. Allah, he mentioned in his book, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تَبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. We have revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the book as a clarification for all things. As a clarification for all things. So the clarification of all things and exposition of all things and all guidance, light and mercy comes from the book of Allah azza wa jalla. From studying the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the manner prescribed to hands of the people qualified, the people of the Quran and the Sunnah, the people upon the way of as-salaf as-salih. Also from the points with regards to honoring and revering and respecting the book of Allah, that a person, he must aid it and he must defend it. He must aid the book of Allah. He must establish in his life and likewise defend it. Defend it according to his ability and according to his knowledge and the likes like this. And according to his ability, according to his knowledge. If he's able to establish that in the best manner, in a great manner, making jihad against the people of innovation and the munafiqeen and the likes like that, by clarifying their falsehood and deviation with regards to their interpretation or their recitation of the book of Allah, their practice and application, he will do that. He will do that. Everyone according to their ability. Either they're going to do it directly, or they're going to direct someone to do that for them directly, or they're going to share links or information, so on and so forth, in defense of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not let the people of falsehood and desires have their way with it. Have their way with it. Rather, they will be checked, they will be refuted, they will be clarified with sincere faith, knowledge, and seeking the pleasure of Allah, and guidance and light and insight. Guidance and light and insight, everyone according to his ability to defend the book of Allah azza wa jalla. To defend the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And another point with regards to honoring and revering the book of Allah is that one, he must be cautious from al-hajr. From al-hajr. Min hajri kitabillahi Azza wa Jal. From abandoning the book of Allah. From abandoning the book of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمًا إِنَّ قَوْمِي اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ Mahjura. And the messenger, he said, "Oh my Lord, indeed, these people, indeed my people have taken the book, have taken this Quran, yani mahjura, meaning they have abandoned it. They have taken it, something and they have abandoned it. They have left it. They have not implemented it properly in their life." The people of knowledge, they mentioned that hajru al-Quran is in three aspects. Any abandoning the Quran and not establishing its right and the manner prescribed occurs in three aspects. The first one is hajru tilawatihi, is to abandon reciting it. And the second one is hajru tadaburihi. Hajru tadaburihi, to abandon pondering and reflecting over it. So first, to abandon reciting it in the first place. Person, he will not recite it. So this is from the aspects of abandoning the Quran. Maybe someone, he will not abandon it, but meaning he will recite it, but he will not ponder and reflect over it. This is another aspect. This is another aspect. Hajru tadaburihi, abandoning, abandoning, reflecting and pondering over the Book of Allah. Abandoning, reflecting and pondering of the Book of Allah, the Book of Allah. And the third aspect, hajru al-amri bihi, to abandon implementing it, to abandon implementing it. So a person, he must be cautious from abandoning the Book of Allah. When he will not abandon or turn away from the recitation or fall negligent with regards to that, nor would he abandon pondering and reflecting over and studying it, learning its meanings, and likewise the wisdom and the benefits and the law and legislation that is found therein. And he will not abandon as well the application of that in his daily life. He'll never abandon the application in his daily life. Also from the points of upholding the rights, honoring the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal, is to strive, and mujahada ala tilawatihi, haqqa tilawatihi, to strive to recite it in the manner that is prescribed, in the manner that is pleasing, to recite it, the true recitation. Reciting it, the true recitation, means to memorize it and to recite it, to understand it and to reflect upon it and to apply it. So he must make mujahada. He must make mujahada, and he strive against his soul to recite the Quran, the proper true recitation. The proper true recitation. Not simply just with his tongue, but rather to recite it with his tongue and to ponder and reflect over it with his heart and to apply it in his life. This takes striving and great effort. Also from the points with regards to honoring the Book of Allah and giving its right due and respect is to be pleased with the rulings that are found therein, the law and legislation, and to comply to that, and to not to object to any of it whatsoever, to not object to anything from the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, or to oppose that with the speech of the people, the speech or the opinions of the people, and also as well from the points of honoring the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal, one, he must strive while reciting it and implementing it in his life to be sincere and truthful for the sake of Allah. And that he would be sincere and pure in his intention, in his recitation, the study of the Book of Allah, in his practice and application of the Book of Allah, in his calling to the Book of Allah. One must be truthful with Allah. One must strive to be sincere and to purify his intention. We all know the narration of Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, أَوَّلُ مَنْ تُسَعَرُ بِهِمْ النَّارُ أَوَّلُ مَنْ تُسَعَرُ بِهِمْ النَّارُ. The first three people that the fire will be annihilated by way of them. One of them was مَنْ تَعَلَّمِ الْقُرْآنِ, and قَارِي الْقُرْآنِ. He learned the Qur'an. He was a reciter of the Qur'an. He memorized the Qur'an. وَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ, and he recited the Qur'an and he taught it. He learned knowledge and taught it. And then he's taken to account for that. And he claimed that he did it for Allah's sake, but on that day he'll be exposed. He said, كَذَبْتَ فَعَلْتَ ذَلِكَ لِيُقَالَ قَارِئ أَوْ لِيُقَالَ عَالِم. You did that so you'll be called a reciter. So you'll be, mashallah, memorizer, or beautiful reciter, or a great scholar. You know so much. To be praised for that. That's what he's looking for. وَقَانْتِينَ. And that was mentioned. I mean, you got your reward in the dunya. And then he'll be ordered and drug on his face and cast in the fire with the other billah. So with regards to the Book of Allah, from honoring and respecting and revering the Book of Allah, we must be sincere with Allah in learning it, reciting it, studying it, and applying it. Truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal. Truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal, seeking the reward and the pleasure of Allah, not the reward nor the pleasure of the people from learning, reciting, and studying the Book of Allah. It's been collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, from the hadith of Imran ibn Husayn. It's mentioned that he was walking by a man who was reciting the Book of Allah. He's reciting the Book of Allah. Some of the narrations is mentioned that he's reciting Surah Yusuf. People gathering around him and listening to his recitation. Whenever he's finished, he sticks out his hand, he's asking for some money. Whenever he's finished, he sticks out his hand asking for some money. Yani, so the people, they stop and they're listening to this beautiful recitation. And then whenever he's done, he starts asking the people for money for his recitation. Imran ibn Hussein radiallahu anhu, he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Whenever he's listening to the beautiful recitation, and then all of a sudden the man, he starts begging, give me some money for it. I recited that for some money, give it to me. And that's what he's saying. And he's saying that with his tongue and with his actions. And with his actions, this is what he wants. That's what he's reciting. So whenever Imran, he realized that, radiallahu anhu, he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What does that mean? Truly, we belong to Allah, and truly to him we will return. When do you say this? You say this in the musibah. This is what you say when there's a great calamity. A huge calamity befalls the person. What does he say? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So he's considering this to be a major calamity this person is involved in. And what he's witnessing. What he's witnessing is a great calamity that a man would stand there and recite the book of Allah in a beautiful manner like this. And then after that, he will expect the people to pay him for it. And that's what he wants for it. So whenever he heard it, whenever he's seen this, radiallahu anhu, he mentioned that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Man qara'a al-Qur'ana falyas'alillaha bihi. فَإِنَّهُ سَيَجِيءُ أَقْوَامٌ يَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنَ يَسْأَلُونَ بِهِ النَّاسِ يَسْأَلُونَ بِهِ النَّاسِ. That indeed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever recites the Qur'an, let him ask Allah by way of it. And whoever recites the Qur'an, let him ask Allah by way of it. And let him ask Allah for his reward. Let him recite the Qur'an for the sake of Allah and seek the reward from Allah for the recitation. Because indeed there will come a people, indeed there will come a people who recite the Qur'an and they ask the people for a reward for it. They ask the people for a reward for it. So again, a person, he must be sincere and truthful with Allah and learning and studying, reciting and applying and calling to the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Also from the points, with regards to honoring, revering, and respecting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that it would not be exposed to the enemies or the hands of the heretics and the likes like this, so they can do what they like with it. Rather, it will be kept far away from their hands, and they should not be given the opportunity to have it or to touch it and the likes like this. Rather, it will be kept away from them, from the enemies of al-Islam, and from the enemies of Allah, and from the great heretics, and from the severely deviant, misguided. It's been collected by Bukhari Muslim from the hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and who qala, كَانَ إِنَّ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كَانَ يَنْهَى أَنْ يُسَافِرَ بِالْقُرْآنِ إِلَى عَرْضِ الْعَدُوِّ مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يَنَالَ مِنْهُ مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يَنَالَ مِنْهُ. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he used to forbid traveling with the Quran to the land of the enemies, afraid that they may get their hands on it and disrespect it or dishonor it. Disrespected or dishonored. So with regards to this, there's a benefit if we're going to some people, they make da'wah and they want to give the disbelievers the Quran. You don't give the disbelievers the Quran, the Arabic Quran. You give the disbelievers a translation of the Arabic Quran. And then when you do that, you give them the proper translation. Some people, they don't care. They think they just want to give da'wah no matter what. So they find the cheapest translation they can buy. And it's the translations of the deviants. The translation of the deviants. And there's translations with misinterpretations of the sifat of Allah and the likes like this and these translations. So you don't pass out the deviant translations, the misguided interpretations of the book of Allah just because it's cheap. And this is not what you call to. It's better just to not do nothing, sit in your house, than to buy deviant interpretations of the Quran and pass them out free to the people. So number one, whenever one is going to give a disbeliever a Qur'an, he will not give him the Qur'an with Arabic in it. He'll give him a translation of the meanings of the Qur'an, only in English, for example, if he's an English person. And he will tell him, this is a translation in English of the meanings of the Qur'an. As for the Qur'an, it's in all Arabic, in the manner that it was revealed. Here's a translation of the meanings. Read it. Go ahead. Like that. You can let him have that one. As for the one that has the Arabic in it, it will not be given to the disbeliever. And then the translation that you give for da'wah, it must be a reliable translation. A reliable translation. The reliable translation that we have is the translation I mentioned numerous times of Sheikh Taqi al-Din al-Hilali or Dr. Muslim Khan. And if it's a little bit more expensive, then if you're going to step into the realm of da'wah, then you're going to do it properly. If it costs more money, then it costs more money. And if you can't afford it, then just back away from that field and let people who are qualified handle that. We don't just start spreading deviant knowledge, misguided knowledge, because you think you want to do good. Can muridin al-khayri lam yusibhu? How many people want to do good, but they don't achieve it? They don't achieve it. Maybe somebody read that and then they'll have a misunderstanding. In any case, we do not support the material or the literature of the deviant and the misguided. We don't spread that for them. Rather, we take it and burn it for them. If we get our hands on that material, right? The information and the materials or the literature of the deviant, their books, we burn them for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. We rip them up and shred them for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. The books of the Shia, we burn them. We burn them. The books of Sayyid Qutb, we burn them. Those who are qualified, they'll keep them in their libraries, right, where to use as a reference to refute the people with their own words and deviation. But other than that, we'll burn those books and get rid of them so the people, they're not tried by them. So the people, they're not tried by them. So the point is now that the Quran, it must be kept safe from the enemies. Must be kept safe from the enemies. Also from the points with regards to honoring and respecting the Quran is that one, he should not recite it while he's in the state of janabah. He should not recite it while he's in the state of janabah. Rather, it's best to not even touch the mushaf whenever a person he's not upon wudu. Whenever a person is not upon wudu. Also, from honoring the book of Allah Azza wa Jal is that a person, if he's in the state of janabah, he should not recite it. He should not recite it, not even one letter, not one verse, when he's in the state of janabah and in the major sexual impurity. Likewise, if he has a minor hadith or he's not in the state of tahara, he shouldn't touch it as well. Allah, he mentioned in his book, لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. And likewise, the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a book that was written, in order to be written with many of the sacred rites to Amr ibn Hazm, radiyallahu anhu, and that letter, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Allah yamass al Qur'ana illa tahir," that no one should touch the Quran except for the one who's in a state of purity. It's connected by Imam Malik and the Muwatta, many others, and a number of the people of knowledge, they have verified this narration and what it indicates from rulings and benefit. So also from the means of honoring and respecting the Quran and establishing its right is that when a person, he must not expose it whatsoever to any circumstance of belittlement. And it must not be belittled or put in any position or place where it could be belittled. It must not be belittled or considered insignificant or put anywhere where it could be belittled. For example, like left on the floor so someone can just step on it. And the likes like this, just leaving it on the floor and then people come through and step on it or to kick it. And the likes like this, it's not proper. Even if the ground is pure and if you're reading it and you set it on the floor, it's not haram. But to have it up off something is better. And some people, they put it on the floor in front of them and then they stand up and they walk on top of it. They put their foot over. They walk over the book of Allah like it's anything else, like it's a line on the ground. What do you have to be like? You understand what I'm saying? The Quran is on the ground and then they put their foot over it, they walk over like that. This is foul. This is not proper. If they knew what they're doing, they would never do that again. If somebody did that on purpose out of disrespect, that's called disbelief. But somebody who does it out of ignorance, you know, he's excused. But that's not how. That's not even if it was raised up on a chair, on a holder, and you step over. You can't put your foot over the book of Allah. You can't put your foot over the. You can't step over the book of Allah. This is disrespect. This is disrespect. Anything that's considered disrespect in the customs of the people, you can't do it. The people of Allah, as they mentioned, for example, you can't put your foot towards the book of Allah. Like if you have the Quran in front of you, you don't stick your foot out towards the Quran. Some people, they say, what's the proof for that? They say, come here, let me put my foot in your face. Right? If somebody sits sitting right in front of you and they kick their feet up right in front of your face, will you like that? Will you like that? Is that noble manners? And is that a good way to do? You have your friend in front of you and you just kick your feet up in front of his face like that? That's not good, right? That's not respectful. So if it's not respectful to do that with the person, it's not respectful to do it with the book of Allah. So anything that's considered disrespectful, anything that's considered not proper, it's not allowed. It's not allowed to take the mushaf, for example, and to use it like an instrument. Some people, what they do, they take the mushaf and they'll tap somebody on the back. Hey, assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Tapping him on the back with the mushaf. You don't do that. The book of Allah is not for this reason. You don't use it. You don't take it and use it as a pillow and lay on it. You don't put your arm on it like this and lean on it. And the likes like this. You never put another book on top of it. The book of Allah, the word of Allah is highest. You never put another book on top of the book of Allah, even if it's from the best books of knowledge, even if it's Sahih Bukhari or Kutub Sittin. Those go under the book of Allah. The book of Allah goes on top. You understand that? The book of Allah goes on top. You don't leave the book of Allah in the car, just leaving it there, right? Leaving it, especially believing that it's going to protect you or something like that. That's even worse. Well, you don't just leave it in the car. Some people just leave it in there, they throw it in the back seat and it just stays in there, gets hot and it crinkles and wrinkles and the light side. It's not proper. It's not proper. It's not proper. Other people, they have the small mushaf that you carry in your pocket and they put it in their side pocket. They put it in their side pocket, any by their bottom. That's not proper. That's not proper. Having the book of Allah, the words of your Lord under your bottom. Sometimes when you sit down, like where your keys are, for example, right? Or your phone. When you sit down, what happens sometimes? You find your phone underneath your bottom. Would have been like that, you would do that with the book of Allah. Or maybe sometimes you'll pass gas, akramakum Allah, right? And then your phone is right there. So you want to have the book of Allah in the same place your phone is whenever that happens? That's not proper. That's not proper. So you put the mushaf, if you carry it in your pocket, you carry it up here. You carry it up here. If you carry it in your hand, you carry it close to your chest. You don't carry it down here behind, below your bottom. And you have to have honor, love, respect. Anything that's considered disrespectful is not allowed. It's not allowed to do that with the book of Allah. It must be honored. It must be respected. It must be kept high. It must be kept clean. If a person were to disrespect the book of Allah intentionally, this is disbelief. To throw the book of Allah in the bathroom like it's nothing. To kick the book of Allah across the floor. Right, some people maybe they'll cast it to you. Hand me a Musa. They throw it to you like that. No, you don't do that, Akhi. You don't do that, Akhi. You don't just chunk it like that, like it's another book or something. Nah. Other times they read the book of Allah a whole lot, but they don't pay attention. Look, you find some of the Masahif, they have rips and tears and they're like in the worst condition. Like, subhanAllah, what happened to this Mus'haf? You're seeing that page is missing and tears on that side and it's falling apart in the middle. And what happened to that? How did the Mus'haf get in this condition? How did this Mus'haf get in this condition? It's been narrated from Ibrahim al-Nakhai, rahimahullah, from the great students of the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and from the great students and relatives of Aqamah ibn Qais al-Nakhai. كانوا يعظمون المصاحف. They used to honor and respect the Masahif, and the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.